of as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." May God bless this reading to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Lord has sent each one of us to come to this church to serve our Lord and his people. And we are so honored to worship our Lord here in this place. May God bless you and your ministries. This year, 2016, I pray that our Lord will guide and lead each one of us. He will care for you wherever you go and whatever you do. We believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today I'll be talking to you about the worship. And I want you to understand what the true worship is. Let us pray to our Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be leading our service. Help us to come before you and meet with you personally and spiritually. We believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. The reason why we are here is to worship you. Heavenly Father, help us to worship you with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. We also pray that the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts, souls, and minds, so that we can serve you and your people. Thank you, Father, we pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As believers of Jesus Christ, we are here to worship our Lord. And we want to know what the worship is. The Oxford Dictionary says, the worship is to show respect for God or a God, especially by saying prayers and singing, and with other people in a church. The Greek word proskuneo means kiss or lick his master's hand like a dog. It still means adore or do reverence to someone. Two people are talking about the sermon. The first man said, I go to church every Sunday, and I believe that this is the only worship. The another man said, the Sunday service is part of worship. I believe that all of our activities should be included worship. Our life is continuation of meeting with someone. We are here to meet with our Lord and meet with church members. We are also meeting with family members, friends, relatives, and community members. Look at the Bible. Jesus was going through Samaria. In the biblical times, Samaria is located in the central place. So when Jesus went to go to Galilee, he had to pass through Samaria. Now I will be reading the verse 4 to 7. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, Will you give me a drink? Jesus was on his way to Galilee, and he was going through Samaria. Jesus was tired and felt thirsty, so he went to a well to get some water. I'm not quite sure you are familiar with well. Have you ever seen well before? Yes. When I was a boy, I lived at a small town in South Korea, and there were many wells, and I was used to how to get some water in the well. And I was not quite sure how deep it was. In the biblical times, it was about 30 meters high. It was too deep. And Jesus said to the woman, and he said, Will you give me a drink? And she said, You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. The King James Version says, Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. That means Jewish people do not normally associate with the Samaritans. They do not have any relationships with each other. Why? Israel was originally not divided. After King Solomon died, the country of Israel was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by Assyria in 722 BC, and the southern kingdom of Judah was defeated by Babylon in 586 BC. Assyria and Babylon had adopted different policies. Assyria took the people of Israel to their country and forcibly permitted them to get married to other nations. This was against the law of God, and many of them lived in the northern part of Israel. Later was called Samaria. And Babylon took some of the people of Judah to their country, but many lived in the country of Judah and were not married to foreigners. Most of them continued to own their nationality than the people of Israel. And thus they affirmed that they were true children of God. They also believed that they were the descendants of Abraham. For this reason, they considered that the people of Israel were not the children of God. They thought that Samaritans were Gentiles. That is why the people of Judah ignored the people of Israel. Jewish people considered the Samaritans as animals like cats and dogs. This had continued while Jesus was doing his ministries. In this verse, the Samaritan woman said that, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" Now you understand why the Samaritan woman said that. When we read the Bible, we are still wondering why Jesus came to meet with the woman. Because Jesus was a Jew and she was the Samaritan. But Jesus came to meet with the woman. Still today, our Lord is coming to each one of us. The reason why Jesus was sent to this world to save his people from their sins and to give us the hope and to give us the life. In the Bible, we know that many people met with Jesus Christ and they were being changed and they were being healed. Now I want to talk to you about what is a true worship. In what way should we worship our Lord? The woman said, the book of John, chapter 4, verse 20, "Our father worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." She said that Samaritans worshipped God in this mountain, but Jewish people worshipped in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, verse 21, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." The woman was talking about the place, but Jesus was talking about the time. The woman thought that the place was more important than the time. But Jesus said that no, the time is more important than the place. The people of Jews worshipped God in Jerusalem. For them, Jerusalem was the only place to worship God. They were not allowed to worship their God in another place. And Jesus said what a true worship was. There were some people who were selling animals in the temple. And Jesus appeared and he just was so angry. And Jesus cast out all the animals in the temple. People in the temple were surprised. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing. Why did Jesus cast out all the animals in the temple? Jesus was not very happy because they did not understand what they had to do in the temple. For them, Jesus said, the book of John, chapter 2, verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jewish people did not understand because it took 46 years to build the temple. They might have thought that, who is Jesus? Is he crazy? It would be impossible to build a temple in 3 days. The church cannot be built in 3 days. What does that mean? Why did Jesus say that? And what is the church anyway? Verse 21 says, "But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Jesus said that you, each one of you, are the temple, and you are the church." 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "For we are the temple of the living God." The Bible says that each one of us are the temple, and we are the church. Have you ever traveled to some European countries? When I was a student at a university in South Korea in 1992, I was given the scholarship and I had a chance to visit some European countries. In most times, we would visit most churches, museums, colleges, and parks. And I was wondering why we had to visit so many churches. Later, I knew that European countries were established based on Christian beliefs. When I was in South Korea, I oftentimes would visit Buddhist and Confucius temples because the country had old tradition of those religions. While I visited many churches in Europe in 1992, I was surprised to see that there were very few believers in most churches. Many churches were changed and were renovated to museums, restaurants, and nightclubs. When you look at the history of Christianity, we know that many believers in the early Christianity were persecuted because of their beliefs. However, after the Pope Constantine allowed Christianity to be a national religion in 313 AD, the believers of Christ were given freedom. They could go to the church if they wanted. Sadly, the period from 300 to 1500 was called the Dark Age. Many believers had difficulties serving their God at churches because the service in the Catholic Church were held in a very complicated ways. Many lay believers could not read the Bible because the Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Finally, the Catholic Church taught that believers were to buy the ticket of indulgence to go to the heaven. The church had become so corrupt. In 1517, reformers named Martin Luther, Calvin, Zwingli fought against the Catholic Church and made sure that the righteous will live by faith. This means that salvation was possible through the belief of Jesus Christ. Since the Reformation, it has passed about 500 years. Do you believe that our Christians were following the law of God, the Word of God? Do you believe that many believers are still on the right track? For many years, many churches have spent much time on church buildings, worship styles, and the importance of material blessings rather than the grace of Jesus Christ and the spiritual blessing of our Lord. Let us go back to the passage, verse 22. It says, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. In chapter 4, we see that Samaritan woman had got married 5 times. Many people considered that she must have been a prostitute because she married 5 times. It is quite unusual in those days. What do you think? This passage needs to be interpreted in this way. A Samaritan woman represents the country of Samaria. People of Samaria believed many gods. They did not believe in the God of Yahweh. Instead, they served other gods. And the expression that she got married 5 times, that Samaritans believed in many gods. On the other hand, Jewish people believed in one God, Yahweh. Thus Jesus said that salvation is from the Jews. Salvation started from the Jews, but salvation is not for the Jews. Salvation is for everyone who believes Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Jesus said that, go and make disciples of all the nations. And the Bible said that, verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The Roman Catholic Church stresses the importance of service, so they use holy images and religious symbols. It is very complicated. The Bible says that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. The spirit is pneuma. That's why we are here to worship our Lord in spirit. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And the Bible says that we are to worship God in truth. Many Jewish people in the time of Jesus would worship God to show themselves in public. But Jesus urged them to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now we are here to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. We worship our Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we worship our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us how to worship you. Our service is a part of worship, and all of our activities are considered as worship. Help us to worship you at the church, at our home, at our schools, companies, and communities. We believe that each one of us are the church, and help us to serve our Lord Jesus in spirit and in truth. May God bless us and our ministries. Thank you, Father, we pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.